Harley did not exist before this episode. What they're about to describe is happening across Southeast as you listen. This is their story. In Bicester and Woodstock, bright school leavers who dream of becoming nurses find themselves turned away from training courses that have empty places and willing teachers. The work that keeps hospitals running goes undone, while the people who want to do it are told there is no room for them.
I grew up in Kidlington, just outside Oxford, watching my mum leave for her night shifts at the John Radcliffe Hospital. She cleaned the wards while the city slept, and during school holidays I'd sometimes visit her there. I remember standing in those bright corridors, watching the nurses move between rooms with such purpose and care. Even then, I knew that was what I wanted to do. After my A-levels at Gosford Hill School, I spent 3 years working retail while caring for my grandmother, who had dementia. Those long nights sitting with her, helping her remember who I was, convinced me completely. Nursing wasn't just a career choice for me, it was my calling. In 2022, I applied to Oxford Brookes University for adult nursing and was accepted. I was thrilled. Oxford Brookes had an excellent reputation and it was close enough that I could stay near my family. But when I contacted Student Finance England about funding, I hit my first wall. The woman on the phone was apologetic, but clear. There are no nursing bursaries available anymore. The NHS stopped that scheme. You'll need to take out loans like any other student. I'd expected some support. Nursing was essential work, wasn't it? But I accepted what she told me. It sounded reasonable. Everyone was tightening their belts. I deferred my place and worked another year, saving every pound I could. In 2023, I applied again. Oxford Brookes accepted me again, but this time the letter that came back was different. I was waitlisted. When I called to ask why, the admissions officer explained that Health Education England had reduced their commissioned nursing places by 15% due to budgetary constraints from HM Treasury. My heart sank, but again, it sounded like something beyond anyone's control. Money was tight everywhere. I refused to give up. I applied to Reading University. Same story. Southampton. Same story. Portsmouth. Same story. Every university told me the same thing. Training places existed. Lecturers were available, but the funding had been capped. At Reading, something happened that changed how I understood what was really going on. The admissions tutor, Dr. Sarah Matthews, offered to show me around the facilities. She walked me through simulation wards that were fully equipped with hospital beds, monitors, IV stands, everything you'd find on a real ward. But they were empty. Completely empty. We could train twice as many nurses, she said, running her hand along one of the unused beds. The equipment is here. The teaching staff are here. We have lecturers sitting in their offices with half-empty timetables because we're not allowed to fill the places. She paused. Treasury won't fund the places. I stood in that empty ward and felt something shift. Here was everything you needed to train nurses, the space, the equipment, the teachers. The only thing missing was permission to use them. Someone in an office in Westminster had decided that these beds should stay empty, that these teachers should have nothing to teach, that people like me should be turned away. I started asking more questions. I discovered that three of my former school friends from Kidlington had been turned away from nursing courses across Southeast for exactly the same reason. Sarah Butler, who'd always been the smartest in our year, had been rejected from 5 different universities. Not because she wasn't qualified, but because the places weren't funded. James Wright had given up entirely and taken a job in a warehouse. Emma Cole was working in a care home, doing everything a nurse does, except she couldn't legally call herself one. Every one of them wanted to be nurses. Every one of them was capable. Every one of them had been told the same thing. There is no funding. But standing in that empty simulation ward at Reading, I started to wonder what exactly there was no funding for. The building existed. The equipment existed. The teachers existed. The students existed. What was it that the government couldn't afford to pay for? the electricity to keep the lights on, the administrative cost of processing our applications. I began to understand that when someone said there is no money, they weren't describing a fact about the world. They were describing a choice that had been made. The UK government issues the pound. It doesn't need to find pounds sitting in a vault somewhere before it can spend them. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins was telling me it couldn't find enough of them to connect willing students to empty training places. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, we did. Whether the skills could be taught, they could. Whether the equipment was available, it was. Whether the need existed in the hospitals, everyone knew it did. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that creates every pound in circulation chose not to spend the pounds that would have put me and my friends in those empty simulation wards. That wasn't an accounting problem. That was a political decision dressed up as financial impossibility. I'm still here, still watching, still applying. But I understand something now that I didn't understand at the start. When they say we cannot afford it, what they mean is we choose not to do it. When they talk about Treasury constraints on Health Education England, what they're describing is a decision to leave training places empty while the NHS posts desperate job adverts for qualified nurses. I've learned to ask different questions now. Not where will the money come from, but why are the resources sitting idle? Not can we afford to train more nurses, but can we afford to leave hospital wards understaffed while willing students are turned away from empty classrooms? This isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard isn't bare. It's locked and someone else is holding the key.
What Harley experienced here has a name, fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat government budgets like household budgets, as though repeating this false analogy makes it true. Think of how tobacco companies once wheeled out doctors in white coats to say cigarettes were safe. The authority came not from evidence, but from the appearance of expertise. The same dynamic operates when politicians cite economists who claim government spending works like household spending. In Harley's case, every institution that turned her away cited the same unnamed economic wisdom, that HM Treasury must limit spending like a family limits credit card debt. Health Education England, NHS England, university admissions officers all repeated the same received truth without examining it. The objection Harley heard was typical. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided on this question. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It doesn't need to find pounds before spending them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, equipment, time. In Bicester and Woodstock, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Bicester and Woodstock ranks 488 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 3,061 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received were £20.4 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.